If you've got your Bible this morning, I want to invite you to open up with me to Matthew chapter 22. And as you're turning there, I'll tell you a story about this past Father's Day. My parents were over to our house and wanted to cook dinner or lunch for everybody. And so I got some steaks and I had them on the grill. And while they were on the grill cooking, we were sort of sitting at the table on the back porch. The boys are playing out in the yard. And one of my kids looks up at me and goes, Dad. I was like, what? And he goes, is the grill supposed to be on fire right now? And I said, well, no, it's not on fire, bud. When it gets that hot, there's smoke that comes out. That's totally normal. It's fine. And he's a little bit of a smart aleck. I'm not sure where he gets it from. But he looked back and said, well, Dad, are the flames shooting out of the bottom of the grill normal too? Are the flames that are shooting out of the side of the grill normal too? And I looked and I panicked because it was not normal, right? There's flames everywhere. They're getting and they're hitting sort of the top of our porch there that the house could catch on fire. And so I jumped into action and I panicked, right? I wasn't thinking anything other than I've paid for lunch once. I don't want to pay for lunch twice, right? I want to get that meat off the grill. And so I flung it open and I dove into that thing head first. And I was trying to grab all of the meat. And I was so deep into this and the flames were so big that my hair literally caught on fire, okay? My hair was on fire. Look at this picture on the screen of the damage, right? I'm telling you, my head was in the flames and my hair had caught on fire. And with all of that going on, my family was just sitting back watching, right? Some of them were even laughing that I was over there. They don't need to keep looking at my head. That's good, right? Some of them were even laughing that my hair was on fire and I'm trying to figure things out. Have you ever heard the phrase, and so-and-so is running around like their hair's on fire? I've heard it. I've used it. And now I've lived it. And having lived it, I understand what it means. Listen, when my hair was on fire, I was frantic. I was illogical. I was not thinking clearly about what was right. I wasn't thinking clearly about what was safe or what was best. My actions didn't make sense. Even my youngest kids were able to look at me and think, Dad is acting like a crazy person right now. And if you push back a little bit and you just give an honest assessment of the world around us, I think that's how a lot of people would describe things right now. We might look out into the world and say, it looks like, man, there's a lot of people running around with their hair on fire. I don't understand what's going on, that they're not making any sense. They're void of logic, void of thought. They're living or acting in a way that just does not add up. If you were going to make a list of behaviors or actions that you would describe in that way, you probably wouldn't have to think too long to come up with a very long list of things that you would consider just crazy. And I want you to know at the beginning of this morning, that's not God's desire. That is not God's plan. And so for us, knowing what's going on in the world today, we're starting a new series this morning, and we're calling it Chasing Sanity in a World Gone Mad. Chasing sanity in a world where people are living or acting like they're running around with their hair on fire. And in the midst of it, we're going to look at issues that might make us think this way. We're going to have messages over the next several weeks on evil and the problem of suffering in our world. We're going to have messages on sexuality and race and politics and the sanctity of life. We're going to look at wealth and greed and materialism and much, much more. Because listen to me, the church cannot be silent where the culture is loud. Okay, I'm going to say it again. The church cannot be silent where the culture is loud. I'm glad that you agree. Because when I say the church, I don't just mean the person in the church with a microphone. Right? When I say church, I say it with the full and complete understanding that the Bible refers to us as the church. Right? It refers to us as the people of God. And so as God sends us out into the world, as we interact with people at work, at school, in our neighborhoods, as we interact with people in the world that God has placed around us, people made in the image of God, people that are loved by God, people that God sent his son Jesus to die for, as we go out and interact in that world, man, we got to go out being willing to speak the truth where the culture is getting very, very loud. And I'm telling you this up front, this is not a gloom and doom series. We're not going to look at the world and lament the way that things are. That's not the goal. Our prayer is that in this series, this equipping time on Sunday mornings, that it would be an encouraging time, that this would be a hope-filled series as we turn to God's Word and to God's Word alone to answer some of the madness that we are seeing. Look with me now, Matthew 22, down in your Bibles, verse 36. Jesus is asked a question here, and they say to him, Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus replied to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul and with all your mind. This right here is the first and greatest commandment. So Jesus has posed a question. They said, listen, we're going to live in this world, right? The good, the bad, the ugly, the crazy and the clear. We're going to live in this world. How should we live? Right? How should we seek to navigate our lives? And Jesus says, I'm going to make it simple for you. Love God. That's it. Start there. That is the number one thing. Look back in your Bible. Jesus follows it up. He elaborates. He says how we are to love God. He's very clear. He says, love God with your heart, love God with your soul, and love God with your mind. This is a three-part answer showing this completeness of Jesus' answer. He's saying, love God with everything that you've got. Don't hold anything back in your love for God. Don't hold anything back in your devotion for God. Everything should be flowing up to Him. That's what Jesus says there. So that's our heart, that's our emotions, that's our feelings, that's our soul, that's our relationship with Him. And yes, that's our mind. And that's what we're going to focus on this morning. If you need a title for your notes, that's it. Loving God with our minds. But before we dive into that this morning, I'm going to ask you for three things. I'm going to ask you to give us three things. And the first is this. I'm going to ask you to pray for us. Pray for our preaching team as we pray and prepare and study each week that God would reveal His truth, His word to us. And that's all that's spoken here is the word of God. Pray for the hearts of our church family that we would rally around and unity around the word of God. Second thing I'm going to ask you for this morning is grace. All right, Give me grace. Every Sunday morning, I've got three clocks that are staring back at me in countdown mode, letting me know how much time I have left in here. I got 30 minutes to cover some topics that a lot of people spend entire semesters on, that there are seminary classes that are diving into right now. I'm telling you, there might be some things that are left out of each sermon. So give me grace in that. And just know that our heart is to study hard and prepare to bring the truth of God's word around each of these specific issues that we're going to be studying together on Sunday mornings. And then finally, this is the hardest thing I'm going to ask you to do, but I think it's going to be the most life-changing. I'm going to ask you to engage the Bible. And here's what I mean. We all have different backgrounds. We have different experiences. We have different opinions or ideas, different families, different upbringings, and all of that potentially shapes the way that we view this world. It potentially shapes the way that we view the issues of this world, the controversies of this world. And here's what I'm asking. When I say engage the Bible, if at any point we're looking at the truth of God's word and you think, ooh, I don't know about that. Or if you think, ooh, you know what, I don't know that my opinion or my thought or my ideas or my current beliefs are in line with the word of God. If you find yourself in the midst of that, in this series, I'm asking you to engage with the word of God. I'm asking you to look at the word of God as the one source of truth for life and living that we have here in this world. I'm asking you to be shaped by the word of God. I'm asking your mind to dwell on the word of God. I'm asking you to allow the word of God in your heart to change the way that you view things, to change the way that you see things. That's what God's word is supposed to do, right? Let the word of God shape you. After all, that's why we're here, right? To learn to see this biblical worldview, to see the world the way that God sees the world. And this, right, this is our foundation in that. So remember, what we're called to love God with our minds. And as Christians, we don't form our views first from our backgrounds or experiences or opinions or families. We don't form our views first from the trends of this culture. We form it. We take our direction from the one source of truth that we have. When that's the case of us, we're living with a God-centered biblical worldview. In ensuring that our worldview comes from the Bible, it matters. And here's why. Because we're going to live in the world based on how we see the world. You understand that? We're going to live in this world based on the way we're viewing the things of this world. Our worldview, it matters to us because it's going to drive everything we do. It's going to drive our goals, our priorities. Our worldview is going to drive our actions, the way that we raise our kids, the way that we raise our grandkids. Our worldview is going to shape our responses to the issues that we face day in and day out in this world, the small issues that nobody really talks about, to the major issues that everybody is talking about. Everything is filtered through a specific lens. Chuck Colson describes a worldview this way. He says it's the sum total of our beliefs about the world. It's the big picture that directs our daily decisions and actions. As Christians, we know that the Bible is our lens. W.A. Criswell, the former longtime pastor of First Baptist Church in Dallas, wrote this: "You wouldn't know God without the Bible. You wouldn't know Jesus, not even his name, without the Bible. You'd have no assurance of salvation or heaven without the Bible." He says our whole life and our hope in the promise and assurance lies in the revelation of God written here in the Bible. Listen, as Christians, we base everything on this. We base our eternity and our hope of heaven on this. Let's make sure that we base our lives on this earth on the Word of God as well. Let's start here. Matthew 22, it's still open. Look back down at it in your Bible. Matthew 22, love the Lord your God with your heart, with your soul, and your mind. Love God above all things. Love God with everything, including your mind. I want you to think with me, what does it mean to love with your mind? Make this tangible. Think about someone you love in your life. All right, how do you love that person with your mind? I think about my wife, Chelsea. How do I love Chelsea with my mind? Well, it means that I think about her, right? My thoughts should be full of her. I should be thinking about her as someone that I love. I should dwell on her, think about her. It means that I should protect my mind from thoughts that would be dishonoring to her. I think about her, I protect my mind from things that would be dishonoring to her, and then I should engage, I should use my mind to do things that show her honor, to do things that make her smile or that make her happy. She gave me a great lesson in that this week. She knew that this week I was a little bit stressed out. She knew that there were not enough days in this week to get everything done that needed to get done. And so I was sitting in this all-day series of meetings earlier this week. She texted me a picture and she said, "Hey, I know you're stressed out. I know you've got a lot going on. I wanted you to know that I mowed the yard for you today so you didn't have to do it this weekend." Look at this picture. She sent me that. And she was not happy that I showed that in the first service. Don't tell her that you saw it, that I showed it again, okay? But she was thinking about me. She used her mind to spring into action and do something because of her love for me. So if you think about that, you're already using your mind to love people. You're using your mind to love the people that God's placed in your life this morning. Let's make sure we're using our minds to love God like he's called us to. Three ways. The first way we can do that is simply this: fill your mind with the Word of God. If you want to love God with all of your mind, like he's called you to, fill your mind up with the Word of God. Listen, your mind's an incredible thing. Weighs in at about 3 pounds or so. It has 30% of the blood that is pumping through your body going up through your mind. Like it is alive. It is constantly being fed. And by the way, your mind, your brain has plenty of room left in it. When I said fill your mind with the Word of God, I know that somebody in here thought, I'm not sure that I've got too much room left. Right? I think I'm out of space up there in my mind. It's simply not the case. Your mind holds 2.5, or can hold, not sure that all of us are using all the space yet, it can hold 2.5 million gigabytes of information. You know what that means? I didn't either. Go home today, turn on Netflix and hit play. Let it go for 300 years straight. Think about how many times it's going to say, "Are you still watching? Are you still watching?" Right? 300 years straight of Netflix. Your brain can process all of that. Your brain can hold all of that. Your brain can be full of all of that information. Listen, the brain that God has put in your head is an absolutely incredible thing. Just thinking about the way that God wired us and designed us, the way that God has gifted us and put that in our minds. 2.5 million gigabytes of information. How much does your iPhone hold? 64 gigabytes for me. If you're fancy, maybe 256, right? Think about everything that's stored on there. Man, your brain can capture all that and infinitely more. Be intentional to fill it up with what matters. Be intentional to fill your brain up with what will help you love God. Romans 12:2 says this: "Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds." Your mind, your brain plays such a critical role in your walk with Jesus. Romans 12 shows us two possible outcomes, two possible trajectories of our lives that's based on our minds. We can use our minds to be transformed, to be more like Jesus, to be God-honoring people, to live lives worthy of the gospel, or we can allow our mind to be conformed to the patterns of this world. Now up front, I think that a lot of us were in agreement that the world is running around doing things that we just don't understand right now. I don't think that we want to allow our minds to conform to that, because we're going to begin living like that. Instead, our minds need to be transformed to be more like Christ. And I'm telling you this now, if you don't work intentionally towards transformation, your mind is going to drift towards conformity with the world. If you don't work towards transformation, your mind will drift towards conformation. We cannot be lazy here. We can't be lazy. J.P. Moreland says, if we're going to be wise spiritual people, I think that's a goal for us, right? If we're going to be wise spiritual people, prepared to meet the crisis of our age, prepared to confront the issues of our age, prepared to live in an age with so much confusion going on, if we're going to be wise spiritual people, we must be a studying, learning community that values the life of the mind. Fill your mind with the Word of God so it will transform how you live. Study, work hard, get after it, and make sure you're filling up with what's right. Let me embarrass myself a little bit to help us understand why. When I was in college, I started watching Seinfeld a lot. Now, I wasn't playing live when I was in college. I'm watching reruns of it at this point. And so there's just reruns nonstop. And I'm watching it over and over again. And I think at this point, I've probably seen every episode multiples of times. And so that means that when I encounter a situation, I think, well, there's a Seinfeld episode about that. I'm out at a restaurant. There's a Seinfeld episode about that. I'm with friends. There's a Seinfeld episode about that. This week, there was a couple arguing over what to name their baby. And I'm like, there's a Seinfeld episode about that. George wanted to name his kid Seven, right? It's this whole big thing. And I'm laughing about it. Pastor Jarrett's laughing about it with me. We both, our minds went to that exact same place. And the point, I guess, is that we've got a lot of useless information that is rolling around in our head that we really can't do anything with. Here's the deal. Right? We're filling our minds with something. This morning, I want to ensure that we are filling our minds with the Word of God, and that they are so full and so fresh and so overflowing with the words and the knowledge of God that in every situation we find ourselves experiencing, we don't think, well, there's a Seinfeld episode about that. We think there's a Bible verse about that. We think God speaks to this very, very clearly. When we're at school, when we're at work, when we're with our friends, when we're watching the news, when we're processing the current events of the day, we can think, well, this is what God's Word says about that. Because God's Word is fresh and flowing in us. God's Word is continuing to change our hearts and to change our minds. Look at Psalm chapter 1. If you've never read this as a family, read this as a family and talk about what this could and should look like in your home. Psalm 1 says this, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is on the law of the Lord," the Bible. "But his delight is on the Bible. And on the Bible, he meditates day and night." This is what that man is like. Verse 3, "He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yield fruit in season, that does not wither, and all that he does, he will prosper." We know how important water is for a tree, right? Look at your backyard. You know how important water is for your grass, for your flowers, for your plants, for everything that are going on. Before the first service, it was pouring down rain. There's people dancing out in the rain in the parking lot. Why? That they knew that rain was going to bring revival to their yards. It was going to bring life to the trees there that needed it. And that's the picture that we have in God's Word. It talks about when our minds are full of the Word of God, we're like this tree that is constantly given life, that is constantly fed, that is constantly nourished, that is constantly revived. There's this constant source of flowing water to keep the tree growing. Look at it. And when we're having our minds fed by the Word of God, the life is flowing through us. And just like this tree example, we'll bear fruit, meaning we'll do godly things in this world. We'll love people and we'll love them well. The fruit of the Spirit will be on display in our life as the Word of God continues to flow through us. As the Word of God flows through us, look what else isn't going to happen. We're not going to wither, right? We're not going to shrivel up and die under the weight and the pressures of the things of this world. No, instead, verse 3 says, we're going to prosper as our minds continue to be filled with the Word of God. Again, our minds are going to fill up with something. Fill your mind with truth. If you want to be obedient to what Jesus has called us to above all things, and that's to love God with even our minds, you will fill your mind up with the Word of God. And as we strive towards that, here's what I mean, just very clearly. Read the Bible and think about what you're reading. Read the Bible and seek to understand it. Read the Bible and seek to process it. Let it roll around in your mind. And if you are reading and you don't understand it, study, right? You know, go to other people, go to commentaries, go to life group teachers, go to a pastor, go to a friend that you know that reads the Bible and have the questions answered, right? The goal is not just to process a bunch of information. The goal is to understand it so we can begin to live it out. Fill your mind with the Word of God. If you want to love God with your mind, number two, guard your mind. Guard your mind. There's a battle that is raging for your mind in this world. Some people say you process an average of 6,000 messages a day. I think that stat is dated. I think it's closer to 10,000 at this point. But just think about the messages that fly in. How many unread emails do you have on your phone right now? Some of you got like 20,000. Messages are flying in. If you said zero, you can clean my inbox out today. We're going to talk later. That'd be great. Think about the messages that come in, the text messages. You're going to get a call about your car's extended warranty today, right? You are. But people are trying to get in your head. The messages just fly in. Remember, what is God's desire for your mind? That you would love Him with your mind, and that means that your mind would be transformed, that your mind would dwell on messages from His Word. And if that's God's desire for you, I want you to think, what is Satan's desire for your mind? What does the devil seek for your mind? It's the opposite of God's desire. And his plan for your mind is that he would corrupt your mind. And he'd love to fill this world with messages that will seep into your mind and harm your walk with God. And what that means for us as believers, they want to love God with our minds as we have to guard our minds. We have to be intentional about what we allow in. We have to be intentional about what we allow into our kids' minds as well. Guard your minds. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 and 5 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but they have divine power to destroy strongholds." We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to obey Christ. So think about that last phrase in the context of guarding your mind. Take every thought captive to obey Christ. Here's what that means. When a thought comes into your head, take a minute, determine, does this thought need to be there? If it's God-honoring, if it's good, if it's wholesome, if it's uplifting, it builds others up, if it builds up the body, let that thought in. Think about it. Act on it. Live it out in your life. But if that thought is not God-honoring, if that thought goes against the Word of God, if that thought is mean-spirited or divisive or not honoring to Jesus, it says take it captive, right? Kick that thought out of your head and replace it with a thought that honors God. I don't remember where I heard this first, but it has always stuck with me over the course of my life. Just think about your mind like an airport right now. Your mind is an airport, and all of the thoughts that you have rolling around in your head, think about them as airplanes. And you get to play the role of air traffic control, meaning that you have all of these thoughts coming in, messages from everywhere, social media, TV, billboards, bumper stickers, friends, classmates, coaches, teachers. There are a lot of people trying to get into your head or get their thoughts in your head from every direction. The thoughts are flying through, but you get to decide who lands. You get to decide what thoughts stay in your mind. And I want you to know that just like when a plane lands and the bags start coming off, well, when a thought lands in your mind, it starts unpacking its bags. Do not let ungodly thoughts unpack their bags in your mind. Grab that thought on its way in, and if it's ungodly, turn it around and send it out. Take every thought captive. We can take this a step further when it comes to guarding our minds. We can even do some proactive work to limit the thoughts that are going to step into our minds. Think about this. Jesus in Matthew 6 says, "The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is healthy, your whole body is going to be full of light. But if your eye is bad, the whole body is full of darkness." A lot of the messages in our world right now, they try to land in our minds through what we see. You're going to guard your mind, you need to ensure that you're guarding your eyes. And when you do, when you guard your eyes, you can keep some of those thoughts out of the airspace of your head altogether. Some of those thoughts will never even make it to you if you simply guard your eyes. Think about this. Don't give your eyes over to pornography. Don't give your eyes over to movies, TV shows, YouTube shows, social media accounts, or anything else that would promote actions that go against the Word of God. Don't let your eyes dwell on things that you know will be tempting to you. I'm trying to make wise choices with what I eat, with what I put in my body. So this week, I went to the freezer, and I opened it up, and I looked inside. Do you guys have vegetables in your freezer? We don't. We had like 8 different kinds of ice cream, though, and I knew that. I opened it up. I saw it with my eyes, and I ate it. Didn't want to, but here's the thing. I let my eyes go to a place where I knew I would be tempted. All right, if I had never opened the door of the freezer, that temptation, that thought doesn't come into my head, and I don't end up doing what I know that in that moment I didn't need to be doing. All right, that's the reality in our lives, guys. Well, we can avoid so much temptation in our life if we are simply wise with what we allow into our minds through our eyes. I want to make an argument for wisdom here in the middle of this that says, I'm not going to give the flesh, I'm not going to give this world, I'm not going to give Satan a bat to hit me with. I'm going to be wise with what I put into my mind. I'm going to say no to certain movies. I'm going to say no to certain TV shows. I'm going to be wise with my computer and my phone. I'm going to be wise with where I go. Listen, it's not legalism. It's godly wisdom. It's guarding our minds so that we can always be in a position to have minds that love God, to have minds that are transformed by the will and the word of God. If you think you're beyond this, if you think that you're at a place in your life where you don't need to guard your mind anymore, 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, therefore let anyone who thinks he stands take heed unless he fall. Guard your mind. And finally, as we seek to love God with all our minds, I want to encourage you to do this one last thing. Use your mind, right? Use your brain. Act out the things that you know are good and godly in your head. We don't want to fill our head with godly wisdom. We don't want to protect our mind from ungodly messages and then leave it on the shelf when we step out into the world. We've got to use our minds. Listen, my 6-year-old, he's playing flag football. First time, he has no idea what he's doing. But this week, he was playing quarterback at one point. And he dropped back, and he completed this pass that I'm telling you, it would be on SportsCenter for 6-year-olds if that was a thing. He dropped back, aired it out, and it went in the air at least 1 or 2 yards. And this other kid caught it. And when the kid caught it, he ran the wrong direction all the way to the other end zone, right? And scored for the other team. And so I gathered the kids around me, and I wasn't yelling, but I was coaching loud to them. And I said something. I said something that I say at home a lot. I'm like, guys, use your brains. Right, guys, flip the switch and turn your mind on. Think about what you are doing. And I say that to my kids all the time because that is a biblical principle. Right? God's word tells us to do that. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, God's word says, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Right? Prepare to use your minds. Do something with your minds. It's not supposed to sit on the shelf just soaking information up. You're supposed to use your mind in your life. 1 Peter 1 tells us that. Prepare your mind for action. Use it day in and day out. Use your mind in a way that pleases God. Use your mind to love in a way that pleases God. Use your mind full of godly wisdom to discern right from wrong. Use your mind to discern what is godly and what is crazy in a world that seems to get more crazy every day. Back to Romans 12, 2. We looked at it earlier. I want you to see the second half of this verse. Don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed more into the image of God by the renewing of your mind. And look what happens when we do that. When our minds are transformed, it says that we can test and discern what the will of God is, what is good and acceptable and perfect. when our minds are transformed, when we love God with our minds, when our minds are full of the knowledge of God, full of the Word of God, when our minds are protected from ungodly thoughts, and we're dwelling on Him alone, God's Word tells us that we can know the will of God. We can know what is good, acceptable, and perfect. We can look at the issues that our world is facing today with minds that love God, with this biblical worldview. We can look into each one of these massive, polarizing, controversial issues, and we can confidently discern the will of God. We can know, we can confidently discern what is good, what is acceptable, and perfect. Not because we're incredibly wise, not because we're incredibly gifted, but because our minds are set on the truth of the Word of God. Back to Matthew 22. We're gonna end where we started. Jesus says, love the Lord your God with your heart, with your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. But he goes on to say the second commandment is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's the goal of this. Our goal of this series, these next 6 weeks, I hope you'll join us, where we're going to look at some very controversial and challenging topics that this world is faced with. And our goal is not to equip anyone to go win a Facebook argument. That's not the goal. Our goal is not to equip anyone to go pick a fight with their neighbor. That is not the goal. The goal here is that we would love God with all of our minds. The goal here is that we would see the world the way that God sees the world. The goal here is that we would begin to see the issues facing this world the way that Jesus sees the issues facing with the world, so that at the end of the day, we would be equipped to love the world the way that Jesus loves this world. And that as a church, we would not be silent where the culture is loud. Rather, we would be loving where the culture is loud, ready to always point people back to the hope that we have in Jesus. Would you pray with me? I just want to ask you to take a minute with your head bowed this morning, your eyes closed, and think about what it means to love God with all of your mind. You might be at a place this morning where you think, you know, I'm not even sure that I came in here loving God. I'm not sure that I have a relationship with God. And let me just say that if that's you, first and foremost, above everything else, I want to invite you to step into a relationship with God today. If you'd say, I don't know Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I do not have a relationship with God, before you leave here today, I want you to connect with one of us, and I'll tell you exactly how. I want you to connect with one of us and just say, hey, I'm ready. I'm ready to be in a relationship with God. And if that's you, when we pray and dismiss here in just a second, we've got a connection room. The back on the left-hand side, there's a few people moving towards it right now. I want to ask you to step in that room and say, hey, I'm ready to trust Jesus as my Savior. For those of us that have, I just want to ask you this morning, what's your mind look like? Do you love God with all of your mind? Think through what we talked about. Are you filling your mind with truth that comes from the Word of God? And then, well, if you're not reading it and thinking about it and processing it, then I'd say no. Right? Make that determination today that you're going to fill your mind with the Word of God. Are you guarding your mind from the ungodly thoughts in this world? Or are you feeding your mind with ideas, thoughts, and concepts, with material, with content, with videos, whatever, that are displeasing to God? And if you say yes, I want to encourage you this morning. Respond to God's Word and begin living in a way where you are taking those thoughts captive, where you are guarding your mind, protecting your mind so that your mind can continue to love God with all that you've got. And then finally, just take a second to think, man, God, am I using my mind? Am I using my mind that is full of godly wisdom to view this world the way that you view this world? Am I using my mind full of godly wisdom to speak truth and love into the issues that this world is facing? Just asking for the boldness this morning, this week and every week, to use the mind that he's given you, the incredible, brilliant mind that he's given you, as it's filled with the Word of God. Ask him to help you use it, to have that discernment and that voice to speak into what's going on in our world. Father, that's our prayer, God, that our minds would be full of your truth so that we would see the world the way that you see the world. And God, as we do, that we would love the world the way that you love this world. God, send us out armed with your truth, ready to make a difference, ready to be salt and light in the world around us. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said,
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with Him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.